of Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35. We're over halfway through. A few weeks ago, when I preached last in Genesis, we watched one of the most tragic events in Scripture takes place as Jacob's daughter Dinah was raped by Shechem. We learned that it would have been an easy thing to do to cast all the blame on Shechem, but there was plenty of blame to go around. Dinah was unsupervised and somewhere that she should not have been. Too often we go places we as Christians should not go, and we want to blame everybody else when something happens. Shechem was certainly to blame, as a man should never touch something that does not belong to him. Men, we should not touch something that does not belong to us. Men, thank you, Dan. Jacob's sons were to blame because they took matters into their own hands, not speaking to their father very much, and they didn't bring God into it at all before they slaughtered the men of Hamor's village. But the one who most the blame fell on was Jacob, because he and his family were not where God had told him to go, and that's the promised land. Had Jacob been where God told him to go, none of the events that we talked about a few weeks ago would have taken place. We sadly learn that God was not mentioned not one time in chapter 34 of the book of Genesis. Tonight, we will continue to watch Jacob to see if he will follow God's directions or his own directions. So let's look at Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. But God said to Jacob, "Get up, go to Bethel, and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his family and all who were with him, "Get up, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves, and change your clothes. We must get up and go to Bethel. I will build an altar there to God who answered me in my day of distress. He has been with me everywhere I have gone." Then they gave Jacob all their foreign gods and their earrings, and Jacob hid them under the oak near Shechem. When they set up, a terror from God came over the cities around them, and they did not pursue Jacob's sons. So Jacob and all who were with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and called the place God of Bethel. Called the place the God of Bethel, because it was there that God had revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak south of Bethel. So Jacob named it Oak of Weeping. God appeared to Jacob again after he returned from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. So God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. You will no longer be named Jacob, but Israel will be your name." So he named him Israel. God also said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation indeed, an assembly of nations, will come from you, and kings will descend from you. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your descendants after you." Then God withdrew from him at the place where he had spoken to him. Jacob set up a marker at the place where he had spoken to him, a stone marker. He poured a drink offering on it and anointed it with oil. Jacob named the place where God had spoken to him Bethel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, and Lord, we thank you for loving us. Now, Lord, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins tonight, Lord, but we ask you to also give us wisdom. There's not a person who calls themselves Christians that know enough. There's not a person who brands themselves as a Christian and walks in this world who will ever know enough. We constantly need to be learning more about you. And Lord, that's what we've come to do tonight. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to set all things aside, open our eyes and our ears and our minds, and hear a word from you, Lord, knowing that it's going to make us greater when we walk through the doors back to our mission field. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. First thing in my notes, I have the inevitable question. And it's a question that I've asked all throughout the life of Jacob, the life of Isaac, the life of Abraham. But it's a question that we've had to answer pretty much in the negative so far in Jacob's life. Now, we follow the life of Jacob so far. A question has arisen on many occasions. Is Jacob's following the will and directives of God? Was he following the will and directions of God? Much of the time, the answer to this question with Jacob was no. Tonight, we must ask the question again, as we just read this scripture. Is Jacob following the will and the directives of God? Now remember once again that God is molding Jacob into what we call today a patriarch of the faith. His actions must live up to the calling. Now remember, we don't see it today as much, but in the day that Jesus, the patriarchs were their gods. They were living up to the expectations that the patriarchs had set for them. They had bound their religious laws by actions that were taken from the patriarchs. We're going to see one of those tonight that might have been adopted from what Jacob had asked the family to do. So the question is amongst us. Is Jacob tonight, as we look at the scripture, is he following the directives that God gave him? Now, some of y'all will say yes. Some of y'all, if y'all really look at this scripture, you're just like, well, yes, but no. And some of y'all would look at this scripture and say, no, he's not. There's three really ways that you can, and honestly, as we start off the study without knowing anything else, all three answers would probably rise. Yes, he is following God's directions, and no. So, church, we must understand that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit and through His work, and He's trying to do the very same thing. He is trying to do in Jacob's life tonight. God's not trying to mold us into patriarchs. Don't get me wrong there, okay? But He is molding us into reliable, trusted witnesses for Him. That's what God wants all of us to be. I know it doesn't seem like much and it doesn't sound like much, but it's tremendous, especially in the day that we live in, to have a reliable, trusted witness for the Lord. Amen? Really. Now, our words must be true for others to look at us and to see the hand of God and the need for God. Terry, people ought to look at us and say, that's how I want to be. I need God in my life the same way that they see God in your lives. Y'all do see that, right? The reason that a lot of pastors say, and I'm not going to disagree with them, that people don't want to have anything to do with Jesus is they don't see Jesus in us. That's sad, isn't it? It really is. Now, let's look at God's directives and Jacob's actions. Because God gave Jacob, very easy to see directives. Look at verse 1. He says, God said to Jacob, get up. So we know that what was Jacob probably doing? He was probably sitting down. He was in a Baptist church in a padded pew, right? He said, Jacob, get up. Go to Bethel and settle there. He said, get up, take and move your possessions, because that's what we do when we settle. We bring our possessions, right? I still have boxes from the very first move from Rock Hill, South Carolina. And settle there. When we settle there, that means you're not going anywhere else, right? He says, settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. That's it. That's the end of God's directives to Jacob. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? He wasn't where he was supposed to be. Just get up and go where I told you to go. Settle there and build an altar to me. I think anybody in here could do that tonight, right? That's not an unrealistic expectation. It's an easy thing to do. Did Jacob do what God asked him to do? Well, we see in verse 1 of chapter 35 that God is speaking directly to Jacob again. He'd done it before and he's doing it again. Jacob will hear these directions, as he has in times past, and he will either follow God or he will do as he wishes. Now, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God speak to us in the very same way, and we will make the same choices to either follow God or to do as we please. Now, as you look at your life and I look at my life, we have to decide that what we're doing, are we following the directives of God or are we following our own wishes? And there's too many times that we start walking down roads and before too long we look and we ask ourselves that question that I just asked, are we following God or our own directives? And we don't have to think too hard to understand that we're following God, our own directives. That's generally when we get in trouble, right? Guys on the front row, right? We get ourselves in trouble when we don't follow God. But when we follow God and His directives, life seems to be so much easier. And it is. Why? Because we're following God. And that's all Jacob has to do tonight. But we see Jacob kind of doing some other things. Now, we start to see Jacob's actions from God's directive in verses 2 and 3. Jacob tells all those who were with him, family and those who were traveling with him, most likely servants, all those who were under his authority, he says this, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you. Now hold on, let's go back to chapter 35, verse 1. God said to Jacob, get up, go to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. What do you see next there? What do you see right after Esau? Huh? Well, there's something. What's there? Come on, English teachers. What do you see there? A period. What does that mean? Yeah. It says God's done, right? That's the end of the directives. What do we see here? It says Jacob told all those who were under his authority to get rid of the foreign gods that are among you. Did God tell him to tell them to do that? Had Jacob gotten in trouble in times past for doing things that God had told him not to do? Yes. Now, this is how far Jacob had gone and gotten away from God, church. Not his actions, but there were foreign deities in his household. How in the world did this person who was being molded into a patriarch allow idols of foreign gods in his house? The further you get away from God, the more ungodly things you'll allow yourself to do. Really, you'll accept things and you'll do things that you never thought you ever would. And when God calls you out, you're going to see clearly everything that's around you, just as Jacob was doing. So was this right or wrong? I'm going to say it's right. He's doing the right thing. Did God tell him to do it? No. Listen, church, there's some things that God doesn't have to tell you to do. Amen? I mean, is it right or wrong to do certain things? You don't have to ask. The Word of God proudly, I mean, it proclaims it. You don't have to question it if the Word of God's pretty clear about it, right? But here we see Jacob making this proclamation, get rid of all the foreign gods that are among you. Now, we don't hear God giving this directive to Jacob when they met. So why did Jacob give this directive to those he had authority over? Church, because he was getting serious with God. He was finally coming around. He knew that what was right and what was wrong, before he took steps towards God, he wanted to clean house. Some of us need to clean house. Do we not? If you really want to get serious with God, we're going to have to do some house cleaning. Jacob then tells those following him to clean yourself. Get rid of the foreign gods. Then he says, clean yourselves and put on clean clothes. Again, did we see God giving Jacob that directive? No. We didn't hear it at all in verse 1 of chapter 35. Church, this is a picture of what the Jews would do before they entered the temple on holy days. They would wash themselves ceremoniously in the pools outside of the temple complex and put on clean clothes before they stood in the presence of God. Now, I told y'all in later years, especially the Wednesday night class, y'all know this, every time that the scribes would come upon the name God, Jehovah, in any form whatsoever at all, when they were writing, translating the Word of God, what would they do? They would stop, put their pen down. They would go and ceremoniously wash. They would put on clean clothes, then they would go back and they would write that name of God. If two sentences later they had to write the name of God again when they were translating the Bible, they would do it. They put their pen down, they would go wash, and they put on clean clothes, and they would come and... Was this a mandate from God? I can't find it in Scripture. Where did it come from? It could be that it came from what Jacob was doing tonight, the patriarch of God. This would give the appearance of being pure. Jesus would speak of these actions such as these tonight and days to come. The actions were not a directive of God. They were not necessarily bad actions, but being clean on the outside does not mean you are clean on the inside. It does not mean that your heart is pure and clean. There are people, listen, who've walked in this church since I've been your pastor, that they were clean on the outside. They had clean clothes on and they had perfume on. You could smell that they, but listen, their hearts weren't pure. Really. Since I have been a pastor, there have been two people that I've raised my voice at. And I didn't like doing it. The first one was over a closet. You remember that, honey? This lady in the church that I was at, she wanted a closet just for the flower arrangements. Now, I'm easy to get along with. If there's an extra closet and somebody wants a closet, but there, listen, where we were, there was not an extra closet. There was nothing. But she wanted me to throw the other people out who had this closet so she could put her flowers in there. And I was like, listen, I can't do that. The pastoral committee did not give me the authority to throw these people out and give you a closet. That doesn't come with a cloak and a magic wand. I just can't do it. And she persisted just until I had to raise my voice at her, and I didn't like doing it, but I did. The second time was here. And y'all probably don't know much about it. Some of you do. I think Deborah does. But there was a person who was very persistent, and we helped, and we helped, and we helped, and we helped. And we helped, and we helped, and we helped. And I'm all about helping people. But then this same person started putting ungodly material in our mailbox out here. That this person was now supporting this faith, and well, it's not even a faith, it's a cult. And that we needed to do the same. And then he started putting it in the mailbox by the bus stop. For people, thinking that we're distributing this material. And then he comes back through the church and asks me for personal help. And I said, no. He said, you're the church. You're supposed to help. I said, you're beyond help. I can't help you. Well, Brother Kyle, why are you saying all this? Why are you telling us all this tonight? When we add things to the Word of God, when we take steps that we shouldn't take, there are going to be ramifications. There are going to be consequences, and we don't need to do it. That's why, young people, I preach to y'all a lot. Y'all are just starting off. You hadn't made the mistakes that we adults have made, and you don't have to if you will just listen. The sad thing is most people hear a preacher stand before them saying the same thing that I'm saying to y'all, and when they get that little bit of freedom away from their parents, they don't make good decisions, but you don't have to. You don't have to. Don't add anything to what the Word of God says. The Word of God is sufficient for itself, amen? It's enough. Now, we see in verse 3 and 4 that Jacob's people do as he instructed and given him their foreign gods and earrings. And earrings. And hid them under an oak tree in Shechem. Now, it may seem odd that earrings are given along with the foreign gods. But Warren Wiersbe says that the jewelry that they gave was given because it identified with those pagan gods. It didn't have anything at all to do with earrings. Earrings, I'm not going to say earrings are bad. I've heard preachers talk about guys shouldn't wear earrings, and I'm not going to wear an earring. But, you know, and girls shouldn't have earrings and, you know, nose and belly button and all. That's none of my business. It really isn't. I personally don't wear earrings because I don't want anybody to be confused and think that I'm a girl. Right? Justin, if some guy came up and kissed me thinking I was a girl because I had earrings on, I'd have to fight. And you're not supposed to do that, right, Gary? Now, Josh, if you want an earring, that's up to your mama and daddy. We see in verse 5 that God honors Jacob by giving him protection. He gives him protection. Now, we can remember that in chapter 34, verse 30, that Jacob was very worried. Y'all remember that? Look at chapter 34, verse 30, and let's recall that. Verse 30b says, Jacob's making this comment. He says, "We're few in number after his sons had slaughtered all of Horab's family and all of the family in that village." He says, "We're few in number. If they unite against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed." Their answer: Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? Jacob was sincerely worried that these men around the surrounding communities were going to unite together and come after him, but God protected him. Now, we do not know exactly what the terror that we read in Scripture was that God sent to these men and to these people to keep them from attacking Jacob, but he did, and it worked. Why do you think, Dan? Because Jacob was honoring God. Listen, you can look at this Scripture. He was going above and beyond what God asked him to do. Now, we see that Jacob is doing what he is told in verse 6 by building an altar to the Lord in the land of Luz, which meant almond trees. Luz, L-U-Z, means almond trees, most likely for the obvious reason of having those trees, those almond trees, present at that location. But Jacob changes the name of the location to Bethel, which means house of God. Church, if we stop right here tonight, Jacob seems to be heading in the right direction. He seems to have learned from the mistakes that he's made in times past where God has given him directions and he's either not followed the directions or he's half-heartedly followed the directions or he has half followed the directions and he's paid the penalty for it. Tonight we see him following the directions of God to the T and going above and beyond, purifying himself and all those who are with him before they come into the presence of God and build this altar. Is Jacob doing good, Miss Virginia? Yes, he is. He's doing good tonight. Miss Virginia got on me. She says, "Now you're going to have to point out when Jacob starts doing good because this isn't making me happy." So, Miss Virginia, Jacob's doing good tonight. Now, after Jacob finished God's directives, we see things happening in the rest of the chapter. The rest of tonight's verses 8 through 15, are what happened after Jacob completed the task God had given to him. The first one we see is this. We see that Deborah dies. Now, we're glad to see that our Deborah is alive, healthy, on the second row. Amen? But we see that Deborah dies. Right there in the middle of everything, we're just like, we don't see Deborah mentioned at all. We see her possibly mentioned in the earlier chapters when Jacob is born, but we're just like, whoa, whoa, ho, hey, ho. Now, who was this Deborah? Was she one of the maids that his two wives gave? Who in the world is this Deborah? Now, who was this woman? Scripture tells us that it was Rebekah, his mother's nurse. So y'all get with me before I go any further. This was Jacob's mother's nurse. Y'all shake your head. Jacob's mother's nurse. So this would be Jacob's mother's nurse. Wearsby says, we don't know when Rebekah's nurse Deborah became part of Jacob's household, but her presence in the camp suggests that Jacob's mother was now dead. Now, we knew that that day was coming. We don't know exactly when she died, but we do know that when Jacob left, Wearsby told us that that would be the last time he saw his mother, right? So we now know that she's dead. Was Deborah the one who broke the news to Jacob? We don't know. But what we do know is Jacob's tender treatment of this elderly servant is an example for us to follow. She came to him. He took her in. We don't know for how long. And he honored her and buried her in a very honorable way for the service that she provided for his mother. And that's the way we should open our doors. Amen? Not to our freeloading children, but to people who need it. Amen? I'm not going to get in trouble for that, am I? Okay. The second thing we see tonight after Jacob fulfilling his directives from God is this. We see that God appears to Jacob again. Did the words that God spoke to him, were they new words? No. We hear God speaking the same blessing to Jacob that he had spoken many times before in verses 9 through 13. Why do we see and hear God repeating himself? Did God need to repeat himself? Did Jacob not get the first time that God had spoken? But we do. We hear God speaking the almost exact same words to Jacob that he had spoken earlier. The same exact words that he had given to his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac. But Jacob gets a double dose of it. Wiersbe says God reaffirmed Jacob's new name, Israel, and his own name, God Almighty. He also reaffirmed the promises of multiplying Jacob's descendants and their possessing the promised land. At this time, Jacob had 11 sons. God would give him one more son and abundantly bless all of them and increase their number. Jacob's restoration was now complete. It was now complete. He was back in the place of God's choosing. Jacob still had much to learn, but he was starting to be Israel and live like a prince instead of a pauper. Much of his life, he lived as a pauper when he could have lived like a prince. Church, we have to see God restore. We've seen God restore two men this week in our studies. Wednesday night, we saw God restore who? Peter. He had to go through a restoration period, just like we see Jacob going through tonight. Peter had pushed himself away from God. Jacob had pushed himself away from God. And God restored both men. Do you realize that our walk with the Lord can be evaluated just as Jacob's was? When we walk with the Lord, we're living as heirs to the throne that we are, like princes. But when we walk as we please, we are paupers, and by all rights, we're choosing to be paupers. What does your walk with the Lord say about you today? God can and will restore you just like Jacob if you'll come to Him. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for who you are. And Lord, whereas we know we don't deserve your love and your mercy, Lord, we don't understand your grace, and we sure don't understand how you continue to restore us time and time and time again when we blow it. We're thankful that you do. Lord, we're thankful that the Old Testament speaks to us today as your word because it is your word. Lord, I pray that the words that we read tonight, the study that we saw tonight, would help us to understand that, God, you're not done with us, that you want to make something of us if we'll walk towards you. Lord, I pray that you would be with us during this time of the invitation. In Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening?